Are we ready to go?
We are ready to go.
Yeah, super fabulous. Well, we happen to be in Washington, D.C., and you happen to be in our bedroom with us, along with, you can see my good friend Kenneth Bay. I'll be introducing him a little bit later. But I just wanted to let you know that this is our fifth anniversary for the call. 5 years we've been doing the call. We haven't missed a month yet. We've done it here in the my dog loves Kenneth Bay. So anyway, we've done it in D.C. This is our second time to do it in D.C.
Yes, it is. In 5 years.
We've done it on a boat in Lake Powell, in the middle of the lake, because that was the only place we could get reception.
That was a challenging one.
Phone reception. We've done it we've done it in some very bizarre places. But anyway, I want to welcome you to the call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries at Churches with No Walls. And, of course, today is the 15th of the month, and it is very, very much our favorite day of the month, because we get to be on the call, and we get to talk to all of our friends, and we get to be on Facebook Live with all our Facebook Live friends. And it's just a great opportunity for us to read the Bible, to pray, to talk about the impact our faith has on our lives and the lives of others. And we'll often have interview guests like we have tonight, and I'm going to be introducing our guests in a little bit. But Don and I are here to give you this mid-month encouragement and remind you that if you continue to surrender your life to God and trust the outcome of any situation, you'll experience God's good and perfect will for your life.
And good evening. This is Donna Schuller. Again, thank you for joining us on the call. We are actually in Washington, D.C., taking part in the International Forum on One Korea. And Kenneth Bay, Reverend Kenneth Bay, is here with us doing this. And we're basically working on solutions to the Korean Peninsula crisis. You know, many of us had never even been able to pick out Korea on a map prior to some very terribly diabolic things that have happened recently in North Korea. And now suddenly people that never thought of Korea, well, maybe, and I take that back, I think most Americans at least know something of the Korean War. But other than that, they don't know where it is. I think Robert and I are an exception because we've been traveling. I've been traveling to Korea for 33 years, our whole marriage, and maybe you were there even before that. And for the last 8 years, we have been working with the Global Peace Foundation on this issue of the peaceful reunification of the North and the South, North and South Korea, which really are one people with always one nation, and we need to get it back there. And that's what we've been doing for 8 years.
Well, you know, the first time we went to Korea, our 30-year-old daughter was 8 months old.
She's 5 months old.
5 months old. Mm-hmm. And we went to Japan first, and we laid her on the bed, and we walked away. All of a sudden, we hear this thump and a cry, yeah. And she rolled for the first time, and she rolled right off of the bed, out of the floor.
Short,
and the good news is, in Japan, the beds are only a foot off the floor.
Right, good memory.
Oh,
golly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so we've never missed the 15th of the month, no matter where we are. I was thinking of another very interesting place. We were in the Palawan Islands in the Philippines. We figured it out 2 years ago for our anniversary, which is always November 10th, which we just had. But we've done it in the Palawan Islands. We've done it in Korea before. And, you know, no matter where we are, it's, you know, typically 6 p.m. Pacific, it's 9 p.m. Washington, D.C. tonight. And I also know somebody's on from the Philippines, at least one person, because they asked me earlier, what time is it on in the Philippines? I'm like, well, I have no idea. But
so you looked it up and found out.
I Googled it, and that Google person is so smart. They answer that question.
I know.
So, FYI, in the Philippines, it's 13 hours ahead of us right now. So there are people in the Philippines listening. Anyway, we're happy to have you. Again, towards the end of the call, we always take live questions. So remember, all you need to do is to, if you're on the call, is you hit the star key, and then you click on the number 6, and you can call in on our telephone line and ask Robert, myself, or our guests Kenneth Bay any questions. So that'll be later. We also take prayer requests. It's a little tough for us to see the little teeny comments on the cell phone, which is also our camera.
It's our monitor. Yes. It's everything.
It's everything. So we typically can't get to the questions on there, but we do always make sure we answer them online after the call is posted. So please, please. With that, we always start every call with a prayer, so please join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are gracious, you are all-powerful, you are all-knowing. We come to you tonight with thanksgiving. We also come to you with a request that this process that we've been working on for so long, so diligently, and I know that has been in the heart of our dear brother here, Kenneth Bay, for so many years now, is that we ask for peaceful, miraculous reunification. Yes. Of the Koreas, Lord. We want this to be peaceful. We want this craziness in North Korea to stop. We want the starvation of the people and the unfortunate, terrible, tragic things that are going on there to be eradicated once and for all. And in your power and your miraculous blessings on our life, we know that this is a possibility, and we're believing for that miracle, Lord. I thank you for the people that are working so hard on this issue. I also pray for the military, for the troops that are working over there to keep to safety in the region and around the globe, and be with them and strengthen them. And just as we discuss this issue tonight with our guests, empower us with supernatural wisdom. May we say the right things, the things that people need to hear, Lord. And may those be your words and your wishes. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So as a way of introduction for our guests tonight, I'm going to say a few words about Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. Nehemiah is one of the books in the Bible. And if you read the book, it's a really wonderful story about Nehemiah. How he rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem. The Israelites have been taken captive into Babylon. The walls of Jerusalem have been destroyed. He hears about this, and he cries out to God how he can possibly be of help. Here he is in Babylon, and the story is one of the story of miracles about how God intervenes in life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read the prayer of Nehemiah, which appears in the first chapter. And so hear this prayer. This prayer is right after Nehemiah hears that the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down, that the people there are in mourning, and here he cries out to God and he says, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes hear, open to hear the prayer your servant Nehemiah is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commandments, the decrees, and the laws you gave our servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in this man, the king of Babylon. And this is the prayer of Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer for the king. And he took tremendous risks, asked the king for favor and help, and the king actually basically financed the whole thing, sent him back to Jerusalem, and answered his prayer. It was just an amazing text. Well, my guest today has an organization that he is calling the Nehemiah 1 million. It's called Nehemiah 1 million prayer petition campaign, and I am really excited about that. But let me tell you a little bit about Kenneth Bay. Not a whole lot, just a little bit. Let me begin by saying that he is a Korean American evangelical Christian missionary who is convicted. He was convicted by North Korea on charges of planning to overthrow the North Korean government, including setting up bases in China for the purpose of toppling the North Korean government. And he served his time 735 days in a North Korean jail. So let me begin by asking you the question, Ken. Why were you trying to overthrow the government of North Korea? What made you think you could do that all by yourself, setting up these bases in China?
Well, I am a missionary. I was sent by Youth Vision Mission, YWAM, and to set up the bases in China, not to overthrow the government of North Korea, but to
really, you didn't
training Chinese missionaries to the nation.
So, what kind of guns were you giving those missionaries? You know?
Yeah, so
the most powerful guns in the world, right? The Word of God.
So I got open the door for me to go to North Korea to bring people as tourists. But we brought Christian tourists who are intercessors. They went to North Korea to pray and worship in behalf of North Koreans. We wanted to go and love the people as Christ loved us. So we didn't hand out the Bible. We didn't do any evangelism purpose. We simply walked around and pray and worship, and we just just show compassion for the people in North Korea. But I was arrested because I made a crucial mistake by carrying in a portable hard drive. It's a mistake that contained some of the media footage about North Korea, Western media footage. And so they detained me. They wanted to know why I brought in such a hostile material containing their countries. And then they realized I was a missionary working there. So they told me I was actually trying to overthrow the government. So I asked them, how did I try to overthrow the government? And they said, through prayer and worship. And I say, you don't believe in God. Why do you believe in prayer? You may have more faith than most Christians do.
Exactly.
They said, I tried to overthrow the government through the prayer and worship by organizing tours, bringing the hundreds of people to North Korea, and people around the world to pray for and remember the people in North Korea. And therefore, and there was actually one North Korean person that I had trained, and she went back to start an orphanage. But she couldn't start the orphanage, but then I asked them, she wanted to start an orphanage, taking care of the orphan in North Korea. Why is that a crime against the state? And this is what they told me. One person become Christian, come back and start an orphanage, 10 children, they all become Christians, and 10 will become 100, 100 become 10,000 someday. When that happens, do you think they're going to be threat to us or not? So I say, possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
And then
exactly.
They say, see, what you did was you tried to inject us with a Christian virus into our country, and then this virus will spread, and then everybody lose faith in our government and our leader. They were told to God, this country will become a God country. When he said that, I felt like God spoke to me personally.
Yeah.
So said, yes, one person can change the nation. Yes, the prayer can transform the nation, like North Korea. So I have to agree later on and say, yeah, I guess I tried to by bringing people to pray.
Amazing. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Well, you've written a book. What's the name of the book?
The book is called Not Forgotten. The book came out in the last year. Name of the book, Not Forgotten, came from the people who have sent many letters to me. I received more than 450 letters while I was in North Korea from the people around the world that I didn't know. And they said...
Were they actually delivered to you, or were you able to read them in prison?
Yes. It was more came as an email form later, and they printed them, and then I was able to get it. It went through the U.S. government, my family first, and went to U.S. government, and then ended up in North Korea. So all this letter, many people say, Kenneth, you are not forgotten. We are remembering you. We are standing with you. We're praying for you. So just don't lose hope. You know, help is coming. You'll be rescued soon. So many people around the world remember me. And in those letters, that was one of the way for me to go back to and say, yes, people around the world praying for me and remembering me. So I must be strong. So that's why that I realized that when I was thinking about naming the book, and I say, well, then I wasn't, and Lord reminded me that the people have not forgotten me and God have not forgotten me when I was in North Korea. Mm-hmm. And also God said, Lord said, the people of North Korea are not forgotten by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to name the book Not Forgotten so that for me, I wasn't not forgotten, but yet God is not, you know, forgetting the people in North Korea, therefore they should be remembered as many people around the world remember me when I was in North Korea.
Yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful title. It really works really well. And you would think after 735 days you would have questioned that once or twice. Am I forgotten? Because 735 days, that's almost...
2 years and 5 days.
2 years and 5 days. Oh, my goodness. And in a North Korean jail. So what is it like being in a North Korean jail? Is it like in the U.S. jail?
I received a 15 years hard labor sentence, and then I was the first American was sent to North Korean labor camp. They call it labor camp. It's actually the camp that you go and work every day. So I work from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 days a week, working in the field, on farm, and carrying rocks from one end to the other, digging the hole, any kind of manual hard labor that they normally do for their prisoner. I have to endure it every day, 10 hours a day. So it was quite difficult. But the prison that they sent me to, it was for foreigners only. So there are more than 30 to 40 people working as a staff and guard, but I was the only prisoner there for the whole time. So I received a lot of attention from any guard because I was the only guy, I was the first American ever sent to the prison in the history of North Korea.
Wow.
Did you feel a little bit like, I would think you might feel a little bit like Paul, who's chained up and sharing the good news with the guards and talking with them. You must have had some amazing conversation with the guards.
That time at the labor camp was extremely difficult because of hard labor I have to endure.
But I thought you said you went to a different camp also.
It was a different camp, but it's still a hard labor camp.
Sure, got
it. I was working by myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other prisoner next to me.
I
was in my confinement, and I had to work outside. So therefore, the suffering was real. And in nighttime that I had to have a light on, then there's no box screens, and mosquitoes all comes in, and I had to get out every hour because I had arthritis pain. So that means it was very difficult to endure. But later on, I lost more than 27 kilos, which was more than 50 pounds.
Exactly.
And then so I was sent to the hospital. I was recovering there. And then I found out that U.S. Special Envoy is coming to get me home, but it was canceled at the last minute. So I was disappointed, and a week later, another U.S. envoy from White House came to see me at a secret visit. And this U.S. envoy came to see me for 5 minutes, and he said, I'm sorry, I cannot take you home. So I was devastated because I was the only one who was convicted and sent to the labor camp Now I'm in the hospital, but the help came, but couldn't take me home. And I have to ask question, Lord, do you want me to stay here? Is this your will for me to be here?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask this question a long time, but I couldn't ask the question because I didn't want his answer for me to stay there. Finally, after 3 weeks, I knelt down on my hospital bed. I told the Lord, Lord, you know my heart, I want to go home. I've been here for a whole year, still no sign going home, but not my will, but your will be done. And use me here. This is when the Lord asked me, hey, Kenneth, do you love me more than these? When he said this, I realized that he said, do you love me more than your wife, your children, your ministry, everything you've been living for? I realized that becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who needs to love the Lord more. I would say, use me, Lord, and he said, do you love me? I finally said, yes. He said, then take care of my sheep and feed my lamb. And then realized that there are more than 40 people around me in prison and hospital. I only saw them as them there to oppress me and make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. The Lord said, you are here as a shepherd. You are not as a prisoner. You are my son representing my kingdom. And so I asked the Lord to help me. I don't know how to do. And then the Lord started opening the door. When they usually call me by prison number, by 103, like they usually call me prisoner 103, and I say yes. But when nobody's around, one by one they come to me and say, Pastor, can I talk to you? And they're talking about their family problems, issues, and the marriage issues, and I would start doing a marriage counseling, premarital counseling, the parenting counseling, all those things.
They have the same issues we have, don't they?
Yeah, they're the same people.
And yeah, they're people of God, just like we are.
Yeah, people don't marriage problems.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was doing this, and then realized that because I started to become their shepherd and their friend. And then one of the guard asked me this question. So, Pastor, if I believe in God like you, what do I get? What's the benefit? That's what he was asking. What is in for me? That's the. And then the other man asked me, if I believe in God like you, Pastor, what do I have to pay to your church?
Talk
about financial commitment. So I think this is what normal non-Christian would ask. What do you believe in God? What benefit do I have? What do I have to pay in order to have this relationship? And I say,
what's it going to cost?
And I say, well, I'm sure there's a tithe and different offering you can give, but more importantly, you need to give your life to God. And then I was there for 2 whole years, and one of the young guard asked me and said, you say God is real. How come you're still here then? Because you say you pray, God listened to you. Your prayer answered your prayer. It doesn't make sense. No one stayed this long before in our prison like you. And I say, maybe God has a different plan. That plan may include you. Without me, how are you going to hear about God or anything from outside? And he said, it's true. I never heard anything like this before in my whole life. So when I was, questioning the first month of investigation, one of the investigators asked me, I heard about God before, but never heard about Jesus before. So tell me, where does Jesus live, in China or North Korea? And he was very serious about his question.
Sure.
And he was born in Pyongyang, capital city, once known to be the Jerusalem of the Far East. And now he's 30-some years old, went to college, but he said, I never heard the name Jesus. So Lord reminded me that this is exactly what it's like to living in North Korea. 25 million people have no access to the name of Jesus. And they deliberately erase the name out of it. So that this is a people that there's no internet for them to Google it. There's no phone. There's no writing they can do. Or there's no traveling privilege they can go out. Simply, unless someone cares enough to go and tell them about Jesus, there's no way. For me, I was in prison, and the Lord is reminding me that you are here as my missionary. You're projecting my kingdom. So the Lord said, live out the gospel to them. Show who Jesus is. That was my...
So your judge was not very smart. He should have sent you home right away.
Yeah.
You know? Holy mackerel, this guy might convert somebody. Get him out of here now. And instead, he puts you in a jail for 15 years So you can convert everybody. No, that was convicted for 15 years. So he sent him to jail for 15 years, but you only served two. So God was faithful. How did you get out?
Yes. You know, 2014, November 3rd, this is a two-year anniversary. But 2014, you know, that November 1st, 2 days before, it was Saturday, the prosecutor came to see me and say, hey, you've been here for 2 years, and nobody's coming for you, so you have to be here another 13 more years. And then he say, well, you'll be 60 when you go home, and then he just left. But he's been saying this every Saturday for 4 years. So I nicknamed him Mr. Disappointment, because every time he said disappointing news. So I have to fight whether to listen to him or listen to God. We say, wait for the Lord.
Exactly. Who are you going to listen to?
I'm with you. So I had to, I read all the letters people sent me, and I had to say, remember who you are. You're a missionary. You're here for the purpose. And then on Monday, November 3rd, Lord woke me up early in the morning. I was in the hospital bed. And then Lord said, open your Bible to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. I had no idea what that was. And I opened it. It said, I will bring you home. So that was exactly word, I will bring you home. And that was a Monday, November 3rd, two-year anniversary. Friday, U.S. Envoy came. Saturday, November 8th, I came home. So on the way home, the U.S. Director of Intelligence, James Clapper, and some White House people, State Department people, more than 20 people came to get me home with a big, large U.S. government plane to the United States of America. And then I just told them that God spoke to me Monday that he would bring me home. Mm-hmm. And they were so surprised. They say, we left Washington, D.C. from here, November 3rd.
Wow.
And then they were so surprised. God spoke to me and got some U.S. government plane over to get me home. So I was telling everybody after I came home, hey, even President Obama knows my name, but more importantly, Heavenly Father knows me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heavenly Father knows everybody who is going through the difficulty in their life.
Yeah.
I have a question, and then I would like to switch gears and talk about what you're doing for the people of North Korea. But I have a question, and that is, you know, let me back up a bit. One of my favorite books of all time, I just finished reading it for the second time ever, is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, he was a great psychiatrist that ended up in the Jewish concentration camps. And of course, I'm sure you're well familiar with his message that, you know, no matter what anybody does to you, you always have, what they can't take away from you is your a decision and your reaction to what they do to you. So you always have a choice in your attitude. Now, obviously, your attitude in this faith got you through this terrible, terrible time. And I also like to look at prisons, not just physical prisons. You are in a physical prison, but there's so many people, they're imprisoned in their mind, and they can't get out of these situations that they just... You know,
slave mentality
or just disappointment after disappointment. And a lot of times, as you know, they get angry at God. You're a pastor. You know that. We all hear this all the time. Why did God do this? Why did God do that? Why is my last life not better? And life isn't always great. But what would your word of wisdom be there, or your word of faith? How did you get through your roughest days?
On the third day of my detainment, they made me stand in the middle of the room, absolutely stand still. So I had to stand for hours, you know. But you know, but amazing things started happening because my back wasn't hurting, my leg wasn't hurting. I was just not hungry, not sleepy. So, I mean, it was just something was happening in the day. But my mind, I was so worried, panicking. I was thinking about not only myself, but others I brought in, that they're going to be okay. But you know, so I was going through all kinds of worries, and I was blaming myself, and I was asking, "Where are you? You've been protecting me. You've been with me for all this year. why now? Why is this happening now? I'm in National Security Bureau in North Korea being punished, standing still.
Yeah.
I don't know what, and I feel like the little insect that caught it in the spider web. More I move, it'll tangle. I didn't see any way out there. I have no, there's no possible way I can get out of it because they have all the information that they needed it. But suddenly my hand was getting warm, my left hand. So I kind of opened my palm. I saw something sparkling like a gold dust.
Wow.
And then started the warmth started spreading from my hands to the, my arm. I have no idea what's going on. I'm standing in the middle of the room, and suddenly the Lord spoke to me and said, Holy Spirit is holding your hand. He's standing next to you. Do not fear. I am with you.
Wow.
I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And so cast all your anxieties upon me because I care for you, Kenneth. And he said, there is something I will accomplish through this. Be strong and courageous because I am with you. When God said, I'm with you, and who can be against me? And then suddenly the peace of God came over, presence of God, and he came in. After I was, all the worries are gone, and panic's gone, and I mean, so in tune with the Lord. I'm so happy. I'm just the peace and presence of God that came over. So I was so happy, and I was just start smiling. And then they saw me from the camera, and I can hear them talking and say, hey, wait a minute, it's not working. This guy's smiling.
We've got to do something different here. We're not allowed to have somebody happy here.
Yeah, and then they came up and then said, just go to bed. You don't have to stand anymore. But for that moment, I knew that God did not leave me or abandon me. He is with me. So I was so thankful. I was laying down. I was in the tears coming out after God has abandoned me. And I'm just all alone. But for sure, it's because I have to go back to the promise of God and also the character of God is He's a faithful God.
Yeah.
He never, when he says that he doesn't change his mind, he's always fulfilled his promise. So whenever I have difficulty somewhere down the road, I will always have to go back to the third night God showed up to me. Not every day God showed up to me.
Yeah.
The same
right.
thing.
No,
but
know.
I have to go back into the promise of God. Remember what God has said. You're here for the
or
reason.
Or you felt him holding
and
your hand.
And he's holding my hand. But at that time, on the third day, God did not say, by the way, you're going to be here 732 more days. He didn't say that. So
no.
When God says, God will not give you anything more than what you can handle, may means that he may not tell you everything that needs to be said. I mean, so he will give you what you can't handle, not saying the whole thing, but allowing him his grace is sufficient. So when the suffering was so great, I'm in the literally labor camp suffering, and then I asked God, how long will this suffering will last? And this is the Lord's day. Even suffering is a beneficial to you, Kenneth. I didn't like his answer at all.
Right.
No.
I want to go home. I just want suffering to end. I want to get out of this. But God said, but I am still with you. My grace is sufficient for you. Know that I am with you, I'm your God. So I have to go back to the Word of God. I have to go back to His character and His promise. And then He said, my grace is sufficient. So I have to hold on to that and realize that, you know, I'm there as a missionary. And, you know, I mean, in and out of the missionary. Now I'm living there among the people that God wants me to take care of as my shepherd. And I say, hey, we're room and board. I'm starting to change my attitude. I'm working and they're working. And then I'm a missionary in this prison. So at nighttime, I often sing a lot of praise songs because it's usually light goes out and I'm in dark.
So they wouldn't get mad at you for singing?
Yeah, I'm just, they don't want me to go to sleep. So when it's really dark. And
they don't want you to go to sleep.
I mean, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Usually from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., I'm supposed to sit in the chair, watch TV. Usually when the light goes out like this, and there's no electricity for 2 hours. But they don't want me to fall asleep, so they want me to do something. I started saying then. So I was just singing a lot of praise songs, and I was singing a song like, I love you, Lord, there's none like you. And there's a hymn, old hymn note saying, whether I live in the palace, whether I live in shack, but where Jesus is, this is where heaven is. When I'm singing this song,
all these guards are hearing your
testimony.
They're hearing it.
I'm my audience.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they were just saying,
pretty soon they have to start worshiping too, and they don't even know it.
And they were saying that is, you know, we're very strange because we are the guard. You are the prisoner. How come you seem happier than us? Where does your joy, where does your hope come from? I say, come from God. So when I left, the warden of the prison shook my hand. He said just one word. He said, see you again.
Wow.
I saw tears in his eyes. But he didn't mean to see you again as my prisoner
here.
But he really wanted to see me again.
Yes.
So I do believe that when the Lord opened the door of North Korea, where North and South are unified, someday I'll be able to go back to Pyongyang,
mm-hmm.
meet all those people I have spent some time with. I think many people will be glad to see each other there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, I would love, you know, we want to make sure we have time to talk about the people, not the regime in North Korea, but the people that are suffering and what you're doing because of your experience there. I mean, you were a missionary over there before. You obviously cared greatly for the people with a huge heart for them, or you wouldn't have been there in the first place and wouldn't have been arrested and thrown in jail. But what, I mean, I know your resolve is even stronger now. I mean, this is what this did for you, right? I mean, you become stronger people, and your testimony is unbelievable. But I just wanted to make sure we have time to talk about your prayer campaign. This is very important.
Yeah, we have something called Nehemiah 1 Million Prayer Petition Campaign. And this campaign, I started it because I meditated on the Bible about Nehemiah. And then Nehemiah was cupbearer, which means he was very close to the king. And at the time, Babylon was, you know, pretty much the most powerful nation at the time. And he was next to the king, but instead of running to the king when he found out about what's happening with his people left behind in Israel and in Jerusalem. And instead of going to the king right away, he went to the Lord. He cried for days.
Yeah. And I read the prayer.
Yeah, he cried for the days, and then he fasted and prayed for days. It wasn't casual prayer. It wasn't something he was doing things and he thought about his people sometime. But this was very important to him. His priority, he just had a compassion and care for the people. But he also realized who God is. And he just went to God and let God do his work. And he obviously got heard his cry, and God used him to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. That actually, rebuilding the wall, rebuild the community, restore God's people again, restore the worship, and everything was restored, and realized that, wow, this is exactly what we need to do. Right now, as the current situation in North Korea and South Korea and United States, this week also we talked to many experts, you know, about Korean issues,
right.
But none of them has a clear answer what we need to do in order to solve this problem, have a peaceful unification. We all want that.
All of us want unification.
Yeah, all of us
want unification.
One Korea, but we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to defuse a nuclear threat. But in especially times like this is when we need to run to God.
Right.
Rather than we're trying to use our own way of our own relationship, whatever. But it's we need to run to God and acknowledge who God is. As God, you are sovereign. You are merciful God. You are great, powerful God. And this is what Nehemiah did. We wanted to make sure the people around the world saying that it's 25 million people in North Korea who never heard the name of Jesus, and they are suffering as a slave for just a few people in the regime. Most of people, 95-97% people considered to be the people in the bottom. They were told what they need to be do. They need to do whatever they were told. And there's no hope for them unless we, as a people, outside care. A message came because this started it because people around the world care for me. 177,000 people signed a petition to President Obama to bring me home.
How many?
177,000 for one missionary who never knew before. So I'm just saying that it's people around the world to remember 25 million people. How about we get at least 1 million people around the world?
Well, we want to help you do that.
That say, yes, we want to stand.
Yes.
We want to remember.
Yes.
We want to pray for the people in North Korea. So by doing so, let's go ahead and write a petition to God.
I filled out mine today.
Yes.
I filled out mine today.
And so that's pray for NK.org. Pray number four NK.org is a website you guys can go to and sign
we'll
online.
We'll put a link on our Facebook
that's
page.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And on our podcast.
We'll put links everywhere on our website so that people can go because we are 100% behind prayer.
Yeah.
So this
100%.
Is all about prayer. And then also people can write a letter to the people in North Korea. We would like to print those letters later on and deliver it to North Korean people.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought.
And let them know that how many people around the world care for them. So any encouragement letter, love letters that you can think of, you can write online, you can even, in a way. And also, we are also studying the radio program for North Korea. We got to read a Bible to them. So about, half-hour-long Bible
radio.
Program.
Sure.
And then also, we will have testimony in North Korean defectors. And also, we would like to have all those letters sent from all over the world. We'll read this letter on air so that people in North Korea will know right now that the people outside are caring for them, remembering and standing with them and praying for them. But this will open many doors once they hear them. They can either listen to radio and also later on they find out that people did not forget them. They are not forgotten.
Not forgotten.
But
fabulous.
Remembered by God, remembered by God's people.
Yeah.
And then so that we can be part of this, that this movement, that people can start their prayer gathering in their home or churches or their families and whatever the way we want this to spread all over the world. So that in that case, that we want to see millions of people, army of God, warriors for God's kingdom, say, yes, we will stand with the people in North Korea. We will not look the other way, but we remember them in suffering. But we will celebrate together when Lord granted their prayer and then the prayer gets answered. And we will see, someday we will see North Koreans face to face and say, hey, I pray for you. So many people, when I came home,
it's gonna happen.
Kenneth, I pray for you. I met some of the people here in this conference also. Millions of people around the world prayed for me. This is why I'm able to come out.
Right.
And now I'm doing this. Because I'm the beneficiary of
right,
prayer.
Of prayer you
now
wanna...
I'm asking people around the world, as you remember me, please remember the 25 million. And also there are three American missionaries in custody right now serving the sentences. And
will they be in the same prison you were in?
Possibly same prison. I know one person may be in there right now. There's two others about to go to the court. So the most likely three of them will be in the same prison I was in. And there are about six South Korean missionaries are serving life sentence. And so we need to pray for those people who are detained in North Korea continuously so that they can come home.
And how many, I think we heard today, but how many defectors are there? Do you know what the number is? I know
Right now, ever since 1990s and 2000s,
yes.
the Great Famine took place. Hundreds of thousands of people left the countries. They weren't really defecting; they just left to survive. And many of them ended up caught or sent back or went back. But now more than 100,000 plus refugees are living in China, hiding. They are usually married to... Most of them are married to a Chinese man in the rural villages. They're out there. And then now they have children. There are 30 or 40,000 children that are living in China. They are born and living in China. And also about 30,000 people made it to South Korea so far. So this year, I think, adding to this year, about 31,000 people are living in South Korea. So right now I'm working with refugees for them to be rescued. We rescue refugees from... Mm-hmm. The border area, and then also bring them to South Korea, and also help them to restore their life by English teachings and job trainings, and just the mentoring and counseling and so on. Also help them to rebuild their life by just be a friend with them, and then doing a discipleship and many different trainings, so that someday when North Korea opened up, we all want to say yes, let's go back, rebuild the nation of North Korea. as we redo the spiritual wall.
Wow,
so should we take some questions?
Yeah, let's see. People are typically pretty shy. We
might have somebody who has some
questions. I'm sorry we can't take any on there unless you're younger than we are. You can talk, and you're closer. Can you see?
All I can see is great to see you, Robert, and great from Mark Harris. Hi, Mark.
Question on there. You can type it up there, and I think maybe Kenneth can see it.
But,
if anybody wants to call in here, I'm going to start the question and answer. You'll hear it here in a minute.
We have to push star and then six. Star six, and
you
can ask the question.
Like. Otherwise, we'll keep our eyes on the screen up there. It's very funny. Typically, people like to ask questions after the fact. You know, I don't know what it is. Sometimes they're kind of
shy
or,
but,
not knowing what to say. Let's see. Nobody's yet.
But anyway, we've given them the opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
And
so
do you want to go on and we'll wait a few minutes on I want to finish up with this. So one of the things, this is a major thing that you all can do that are listening now live or that will hear this recorded call, and that is pray, it's P-R-A-Y with the letter number 4. So pray with the letter 4, N-K, N as in North, K as in Korea, .org. Pray, letter 4, nk.org. We will post this, and we want you to sign up, please. We will commit our ministry, Robert and I commit right now
to you to
help you with this, to get as many people as possible praying for the people of North Korea and praying for a peaceful situation there and speedy, rapid, safe for everyone. And if there's anything else anybody can do, if it's okay with you, we'll put your contact information.
Sure.
And if somebody feels so called to be involved with this, you can hear that Kenneth Bay here has a lot going on with a lot of training and trying to help in many different ways besides prayer. So if you feel so called that you want to be involved in this, we will get you in contact with him. I see something came up there. Is that something else just came up?
Will you ever return there? That's what it said.
Yes.
I would like to return as soon as when those open. So right now, I shouldn't be going.
No.
I believe that God's timing is coming soon. One thing I wanted to say was next year will be marked 70 years since the two Korea were divided, formed two different countries, and therefore I'm expecting that God will work mighty hand and see restoration of the Korea once again, because we believe that through the Bible, any other evil empire never lasted more than 70 years. Soviet Union collapsed after 73 years. We hope that next year, 2018, will become a year of opening and for unification and the freedom for people in North Korea.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, we have, this is an online church service of sorts and called The Call. And as such, we take an offering. So we just want to say to everybody out there that's listening, we have many people that support us monthly, people ongoing that send gifts to us to help us do what we do. And we thank you for that. Without your gifts, we would not be able to continue to distribute hope and healing around the globe. We will not be able to continue to interview amazing people like our guests tonight. And I'm truly humbled to have you here tonight. Kenneth Bay, and we pray for you, and we thank you. So if any of you out there listening would like any more tickets to heaven, we have given out nearly 1 million of these. They look like a miniature prayer card, and basically it just says, I believe in Jesus Christ, and it's your ticket to heaven. And as funny and trite as that might sound, it's just a way for you to proclaim your faith in the promises of Jesus. And we've had some amazing stories of loved ones who have found this on their deceased husband, wife, child
in their wallet or something.
They didn't know.
Wow.
That they ever professed their faith. Okay. And we have amazing stories. So we still continue to give these out. We started doing this about,
I've given over 1 million of those out.
Wow.
So we just thank you for your continued gifts. So we can do these types of things If you have a prayer request, if you would like to give a gift, you go to robertshuerministries.org, and you can click on the donate button, which is down on the right side of the page, or some of you still like to write in the snail mail, regular traditional mail, and it's Robert Shuler Ministries. Our address is 2128 Bay Point, that's one word, B-A-Y-P-O-I-N-T-E, Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. We have local, regional, and international projects we support, and also please either email or write to us, of course, if you have prayer requests of your own. And remember, your donations are tax deductible. Wanted to say one last thing. It's been, you know, I want to continue to be in prayer for two of my friends that I've known for years that have lost sons in the last 4 days, young men that died, and I've been kind of choked up all night and all day and sort of tongue-tied in a way, but I just wanted to throw that out to people to please pray for the LaVon family and for the Hill family. They both, within 4 days of each other, don't know each other, but we know them well. We've known these sons since they were babies. And one of them died of brain cancer, and the other one died of undisclosed reasons and not in a good situation, and these families are really suffering. So we're going home to do a memorial on Sunday, which is also our son's 30th birthday, so it reminds us of the circle of life and the graciousness of God, and that we have to be thankful every single day for what we do have for our loved ones, and make sure we tell them so that we love them and we appreciate them. So didn't mean to end on such a sad note.
Well, we're not going to end it right there.
Yeah.
Because if you want our emails, my email is robert@robertshulerministries.org, and Donna's is?
Donna@robertshulerministries.org, or either of us, Robert or Donna@justshulerministries.org, works as well.
And so this has been a fabulous night. We want to thank you again, Kenneth, for being here tonight, for sharing your stories and your testimony of how God just used you in a powerful and wonderful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to remind you to join us next month. That'll be December 15th. How about that? It's the 15th of the month, 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're here on Facebook Live and on the call. And
what a spectacular way to celebrate 5 years of a call
exactly.
In Washington, D.C. with Kenneth Bay.
Yeah. God is good.
God is good all the time.
So next month we'll be coming together again to pray and to read the Bible and to find ways that that we can be used to be able to be used by Him.
And this will be posted on robertshulerministries.podomatic.com, and that's robertshulerministries.podomatic.com. It'll also be posted, which is easier, on Facebook Live with all of that information. You can connect with Kenneth Bay. You can connect with our podcast, with our ministries, and send in your prayer requests. And please pray for North Korea. Please.
Yeah. So until next time, God is blessing you through all things.
Always.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
everyone. Thank you.